talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor.
There's the snap. The hold is down. Kick is up. Got the distance.
He's on board! He made it!
For the first time in school history, Virginia will win here in Tallahassee.
Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaver.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
ACC sports fans, this is Frank Maloney courtside here, Greensboro Coliseum, with my good old buddy Jim Hobgood.
Yeah, that clip, two out of three is not bad, because the downside, it was a football clip at the basketball tournament, but it was Dave Kane's voice, and he's our first guest, and it did have Tallahassee involved, and they're our opponent tomorrow, so, you know.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Not bad.
Actually, three out of four, fellas. You even got the engineer right here, Dave Stipe, who was with us.
And we're delighted to have Dave with
us. So three out of four.
Absolutely. we'll take, if the Hoos make three out of four at the free throw line tomorrow, I'll be happy.
I'm in.
All right. We're thrilled to be down here in Greensboro. The Cavaliers are probably at some shoot-around tonight or something, getting loose. They now know who they're going to play. Florida State. Won in a very exciting fashion today with a last half-second dunk by their seven-footer on a tipped pass that left all the Maryland fans pretty much in tears. But a pretty exciting ending.
I think that kid's actually 7'3", and as they say, it's hard to coach 7'3". But no, and I'm still holding out for Radford. On the Monday show, I decided I didn't want to play Florida State or Maryland. I wanted to play Radford tomorrow. But they're not in the league. So either way, I mean, maybe we could start with Dave Kane with that question. On the one hand, you know, you're looking at Florida State. They always say it's hard to beat somebody three times. On the other hand, Maryland, based on last Sunday, we were really struggling with Seth Allen and Des Wells guarding them off the dribble. So what's your assessment of Florida State versus Maryland?
Well, I guess suppose now that you've given Radford bulletin board material for future years, we'll dive into this. You know, when I looked at this game, I was kind of wavering. I was vacillating between which team I thought would be a better matchup for Virginia. And at the end of the day, I think that told me that I don't think it matters. I think for Virginia, what it boils down to, when you're the one seed and you're the team that has all the accolades and has done what this team has done through the years, it comes down to which team shows up for you in this game, because I think if Virginia plays like they have been, they're going to win against either one of these teams. And, you know, when you look at Maryland, yeah, they bring some matchup problems, I think, with the guards. When you look at Florida State, historically, they provided matchup problems. For whatever reason this year, Virginia's been able to solve them with relative ease. But, you know, you hear all the fireworks surrounding this game. These teams don't like each other now that it is Florida State. It's going to make for an intriguing matchup tomorrow, particularly for an opening round game for Virginia.
It got a little chippy at the end of that game in Charlottesville. You guys had a good view of that. What exactly happened? Or what
a little too good. That's when it's good to have Big Ted Jeffries next.
Well, that's right. You know, Ted, he's the enforcer.
If it spills over, it ends where Ted stands. So that was the good news. But
I knew there was a reason I was replaced. That's it. You know, I can't provide enough protection.
It was an arm wrestling. You know, it's what we decided. You got to be able to arm wrestle well, and Ted won the challenge. But you know, I mean, when you look at this Florida State team, though, I mean, I think when they came into Charlottesville last time, they had a little bit of an extra edge because of the fact that they'd been disposed of relatively easily, I think, at home. And then there was some talking. I mean, two physical teams. These are two defensive-minded teams that have played each other and gotten to know each other a little too well over the last couple, you know, times they've gotten together. And, yeah, Carl White, from our vantage point, sure looked like he was going after Lennon Parentis for something that was said earlier in the handshake line, no less, which to me just, you know, I don't want to say anything out of line here, but I couldn't believe it. I mean, I thought for the ACC to discipline him by saying, you know, it's a slap on the wrist. I don't know. I when you got guys doing that in the handshake line, of all things, after the game has ended, I thought that was completely out of the realm of what student-athletes should be doing in this day and age. But then after the game today, somebody asked him about that matchup today for the game tomorrow, and a Carl White said something to the effect of, well, you know, where we come from, we got guys from tough backgrounds, and that's how we do it. We got guys from tough backgrounds. They don't. And he was talking about Virginia, saying he thought that the dunk at the end of that game was, in his mind, it was something that was uncalled for and disrespectful. So, you know, Justin Anderson made the dunk and hung on the rim and actually got teed up for that, adding to the fire. And so, you know, it's got everything you want. I mean, it's got good teams and certainly, again, no love lost between the two teams. But it's going to come down to who executes at the end of the day. All the talk, you know, you can put that behind you. It comes down to who comes out and is able to establish their defense and then make the shots. I mean, it's a pretty simple formula at the end of the day.
And also rebound to basketball. You look at the Florida State stat sheet, they out-rebounded Maryland 39-26, had 13 offensive rebounds. So that's certainly, I'm sure, going to be a point of emphasis for Coach Bennett tomorrow.
And that's a Maryland team that out-rebounded Virginia twice this year.
So, I mean, you know, I always used to say defense ends when you get the rebound. You know, nothing is more discouraging than to play solid defense for 30, 35 seconds, force somebody to take a difficult shot, and then let them have an offensive rebound and you have to do it all over again.
All right, let me throw this at you guys. In this game tomorrow at 12 noon here in Greensboro, Florida State's coming in knowing that they're on the bubble. So they are motivated, and they were hungry today. Ted Jeffries told me that he thought the Seminoles were the hungrier team. So you know that they're going to be fired up tomorrow.
He was talking about lunch, though. He saw them eat their pregame.
Well, you know, and Ted was fired up for lunch, too, but we won't get into that. And then, on the other hand, Virginia, which has not had much success in recent years down here in Greensboro, to say the least, wants to get off the schneid and to represent their number one seed properly. So there's a lot of pride at stake for Virginia. Let's throw it to you, Dave. What do you think about that contrasting motivation?
I think both teams are going to be coming very focused and ready to play. I mean, I saw this Virginia team practice this week. I thought that loss on Sunday against Maryland, people say there's no such thing as a good loss. I might argue that point. I think that there sometimes a team can take a situation like the one we saw Sunday, losing the way they did. They made the big play down the stretch. I thought you could take something from that. But, you know, this team, maybe it was. And this isn't to say that Virginia came out there unfocused on Sunday. I just don't think that they were quite as sharp and, to your point earlier, quite as hungry as maybe they should have been, as at least against a Maryland team that looked hungry on Sunday. So I think you get a little bit of a wake-up call. And I think at some level, and I've said this before, I feel like for a program that hasn't been to the NCAA tournament with regularity in the better part of the last decade, to go into that tournament potentially with a number one seed, I think that's a lot of pressure for a team that maybe hasn't been in that setting very often. So in some senses, I almost feel like maybe a two or a three seed might serve this team better. But, you know, time will tell. And I know from people like your perspective, Frank, and, of course, Hobbo, have been following this program for a long time, that this ACC tournament means a lot. And the frustration has built through the years with Virginia losing eight of its last nine in the more recent history. But, again, not having been to the Saturday, since 95 and won the thing since 1976, that Virginia fans are tired of losing to this thing. But, you know, with all that said, I think for these players, a lot of these guys, maybe Joe Harris and Akeel Mitchell have experienced some of the heartache, but these younger guys, they don't even know any better. They're going to come out here ready to play no matter what.
Well, it inevitably all comes down to execution.
Yep.
You know, you got to go out and make plays. You got to make shots. Hopefully Malcolm Brogdon, Joe Harris, and the guys that really can produce for Virginia will have not only a good game tomorrow, but a good tournament. It'd be nice. It's been a long time since we had an Edward Case Award winner. It may have been Wally Walker the last time.
Yeah, 1976 was the last time.
So that's been too long. So the time has come.
All right, let's talk about something else. The Cavaliers had just a magical season, Dave. 25-6 overall, 16-2 in conference. That epic winning streak, 13 games in a row. From your perspective, and we're going to ask the same thing of Ted Jeffries when he joins us in just a few minutes, talk to us a little bit, what was that like as that winning streak kept perpetuating itself and the confidence was building in the team and they've started finding more and more ways to win?
To me, as a broadcaster, in all my years doing this, it's been the most fun two-month stretch I've ever been a part of. And it really has been neat to see this team grow and grow together as you saw the season start. And I don't want to say it was a bad start. Certainly the Tennessee game was probably a bad point in the season for this team. But, you know, I think after that, this team, it's been fun to see guys grow together. And I mean that literally, too. I mean, you're talking about a team that has learned to play selflessly with one another and know their roles. And, and embrace the style of play that their head coach has been looking for all 5 years that he's been here. So the other part of it is it's been neat to see a different guy step up each game. You know, there aren't too many teams that can say they've got seven different players that have scored 15 points in a conference game in the ACC. As a matter of fact, there are no other teams that can say that, and it's a tribute to the depth of this team, which to me is one of the reasons it makes this team a tough out. Because, look, if this team plays the defense they're capable of, and they've got so many different people that can hurt you on any given game, who do you guard? And that's something we haven't been able to ask for a long time against Virginia. The defense has been good, but the offense is what's propelled this team to where it is.
Certainly in recent years, there have been moments where you looked out on the floor and your concern was who's going to score among the five guys that are out there. And certainly this year, basically, regardless of who Tony put out there,
they all scored.
They were all capable of scoring, and as you say, different guys stepped up at different times. And it was also fun to watch them because, you know, they talk about being unselfish, but they share the basketball. They make the extra pass to get the guy that, you know, the one guy, he has a decent shot, but he makes the extra pass so that his teammate has an outstanding shot. And that, you know, that's good team concept basketball. And the other thing I've liked about Virginia this year is they've recognized when they had opportunities to push the ball and maybe get into the offensive zone, either get some good early looks or even transition baskets. So it really makes it a lot easier to score when you occasionally get a layup or dunk, or that, you know, the pass that Perante's made to Akil Mitchell in the Syracuse game. That also gets the crowd involved.
Yeah.
When you have those kind of moments. So it's been fun. I'm sure it's been terrific for you guys. It's been magical for the fans as well.
Yeah.
Talk about an infusion of excitement has been brought by Malcolm Brogdon and Anthony Gill. They have been outstanding this season, Dave. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think that it starts with Malcolm Brogdon, this turnaround, because Malcolm had been out for the better part of the last year and a half now, and with the injury. And look, there were some psychological challenges in addition to the rust that he was dealing with when he came back into the fold for this team. Malcolm not only trying to shake the rust, but he was really hoping and trusting that foot was fully recovered, because this was no simple procedure he'd been going through. So I think in January, the light switch kind of went off, and he got his rhythm back and he got his touch going. And I'll tell you one thing, putting him over at the two and having London Perentes there to man the show at the point really opened Malcolm up to do some different things. Now, Anthony Gill's another interesting one, because his offense has really always been there, although it stepped up even more of late. But we saw it even as early as Corpus Christi when he took over that game against SMU and really took Virginia into the win column for that game. But the difference for Gill has been the defense has been slowly but surely improving one game at a time throughout the season, and it's gotten to the point where Coach Bennett and his staff feel comfortable putting him out there. Now, is he an Akil Mitchell defensive player? No, he's not. But he's graduated from where he was, you know, end of November through December, to the point where they don't feel like he's a liability on that side of the field, like maybe, or side of that court, like he was maybe earlier in the season.
Particularly at the end of the halves. His play at the end of the halves has been better and better throughout the season. Which brings me to the question, London Perentes, his defense also has improved steadily as he's become more accustomed to the back line defense.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you, I think London's, what's keeping him on the floor is quite candidly the fact that he can do things no one else can at that point guard position. His defense is still, they would like to see improvement. I mean, right. Let's be honest, that's not his strength. But I do think that London's ability to see the floor and his ability now to score. I mean, he's hit 14 of his last 19 three-pointers in the last five games, which incidentally is a five-game stretch where Joe Harris has shot 29%. So he's picked up some of that scoring void that Joe's been struggling with his shot of late, and it's been huge for this team. But I think London is going to be a work in progress on that defensive side of the floor the rest of this year.
Well, he's going to get better and better, but the team clearly functions much more smoothly on the offensive end when he's in there. And
he does something no one else can do.
And virtually every coach likes to have what I would call a coach on the floor, yep. And London Perentes is that for Tony Bennett.
All right, we're coming up on air break pretty soon. Let's try to get in a couple points. First off, turning points of the season. You know, I've circled the Pitt away game when, of course, Malcolm Brogdon hit the big three ball, which pretty much silenced the Pitt crowd.
I can tell you right now, the biggest game of the season was the Florida State game on the road coming off that Tennessee loss.
Well, no two ways about that. Nobody could argue that, because I think that caught everybody in the league off guard.
Those were the two turning points, though. I mean, I think that you're right. That was a turning point, Florida State, but I do think the Pitt game showed this team that they can beat just about anyone, anywhere, and it showed them they could win in a close game, too, which had been a problem the last couple of years for this program.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the momentum games, Notre Dame with the nuclear explosion, as Coach Bray described it, when Virginia ran off 25 consecutive points. Miami, which was just an old-fashioned, we going to control this game and you're not. And then, of course, Syracuse was the coronation of the number one seed and first time since 1981 that Virginia was going to win the ACC regular season outright. So with all that said, Dave, UVA in position to win tomorrow, win the semifinal against most likely Carolina, and return to the finals?
Well, they're the one seed, so I would have to say yes. I mean, you win 16 out of 18 games. Hard to argue with that.
All that said, as of tomorrow, they're 0-0. We're starting the second season tomorrow. And, as nice as it was to cut down the nets in Charlottesville, I'd love to see them cut down these nets on Sunday afternoon.
That's the plan.
That would be special.
You know, in as much as you can say it's 0-0, the one thing is that you cannot take away from this team through this run is the confidence in the cohesion they've been able to build through this run. And I think that does carry.
And I would not diminish the regular season championship because in this league with Duke and North Carolina and others, you know, it's an accomplishment.
Yep.
You know, because it's not too shabby to win a regular season.
All right, we're going to head to break. We come back, we're going to have Big Ted Jeffries sitting down with us. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking Courtside at the ACC Tournament in Greensboro.